everybody. Welcome to episode 436 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, and I'm going to be playing for you an interview I did with writer Zach Kaplan at San Diego Comic-Con recently, talking about his Lost City Explorers title. But before we get into the interview, I just wanted to talk a little more in-depth about issue 2. I think the first time I mentioned it on the podcast, it was a few days before it came out. So now that it's been out for a while, a little over a week here, I'm able to talk about it more in detail. I think you Aftershock fans will have had a chance to read it. So I'm going to dive in a little more deeply. So, fair warning, I am going to be talking about the issue in detail. So if you haven't had a chance to read it, there are going to be spoilers. You may want to come back to this episode after you've had a chance to read it. So the creative team, as I mentioned, written by Zach Kaplan. We have Alvaro Saraceca on art, Dee Cuniff on colors, and Troy Pateri on letters. So if you remember, in the first issue, we met Hel and her brother Homer. Their father was an archaeologist. He believed that the lost city of Atlantis was actually below Manhattan, below New York City. And as he was working underneath the city with a couple of his colleagues, a portal opened up and he seemed to have disappeared. The brother and sister, Hel and Homer, were told that their father was killed in an accident. And they were offered a big settlement, and the company just kind of wanted it to go away. So as this issue begins, we see that Helena and her brother Homer and their friends Maddie and June, they have their suspicions, right? At the end of last issue, we saw somebody had broken into their home. They'd stolen all their father's work. So that made it seem, a little more suspicious. So Helena's convinced that Sagan Labs, the multinational tech company that her father was working for, stole their dad's computer because they didn't want anyone to know that the lost city of Atlantis is below Manhattan. And they're not really buying it. Like Maddie, Hel's girlfriend's like, it sounds a little crazy. But Helena's like, you were there when dad's colleague Lee said there was no gas leak. He could be trapped down there. Now, Homer's not buying it. He's like, our dad's not Indiana Jones. He was a self-involved academic, moved us to New York to raise ourselves while he hid from the real world. Even his colleagues called him a reclusive crackpot, and now he's gone. We have to face reality. And Helena's like, face reality or hide from our emotions, because you still haven't cried, Homer. And June's like, hey, we don't know what he's feeling. Just everybody calm down, right? And Helena's like, but I know Homer doesn't like conflict. He'd rather hide than deal with it. It's like, you want to wallow in your drama, and hide from the world like mom did? Again, it's brother and sister tension. It's, I won't say sibling rivalry, but they're very different people for being siblings. And so it's a real credit to Zach Kaplan that he's able to write this realistically, because you can tell that it's coming from a place of love. Like, they care about each other. If they didn't care about each other, then it would be, God, we're just so different. We'll just go our separate ways, like live and let live, right? But they know that, their mother had died a long time ago. Now their father, Homer believes he's dead. Helena thinks he could still be alive. But either way, he's not there anymore, and they only really have each other. So they decide that because Lee said that they could save him with the research on the computer, and now that the computer is missing, what Helena wants to do is go get the computer back. It's like, how are we going to do that? She's like, I don't know. So June's idea is, well, Sagan's never going to admit they took your dad's computer, but if they have it, it'll be on their network. So is there a way to access their network? And Homer's like, well, we could check their network, and if dad's computer's not online there, will you agree to sign the papers for the settlement and be done with it? And Helena's like, okay, but how are we going to access their network? And Homer says, not me. Edwin. So this is where we're meeting the final member of the team, who will come to be known as the Lost City Explorers, or at least that's the, you know, the group that the title's named after. So we meet Edwin, African-American young man who has a lot of computer hacking skills. They meet on the subway. They kind of fill him in with what's going on. And he's like, all right. Their network's encrypted, so I can't just hack into it. You know, they're one of the biggest tech giants around. So, but what I could do is install a program that allows me in by putting the flash drive in one of their computers. So how are we going to do that? Well, they could go in and agree to sign the papers, right? So that's what they decide to do. They head into Sagan Labs. And meanwhile, we see that the powers that be at Sagan Labs are getting ready to clean up the mess that Helena and Homer's dad made. And one of his former colleagues, Adam, isn't real happy about it. Jamal Kay's there with his team to clean up, and Adam says, "Mr. Burrow, you know, I thought we had everything under control." He's like, "Kay will handle the site. You collect the hard drives, shred the documents, wipe this office clean, and we're going to forget about it. We're going to bury it." And Adam's like, "But we unlock something. There's a doorway to something special. There might be value in saving the project." And Barrow says, "Son, I've been doing this a long time. When they call me in, the project's over." And then as he's saying that, Adam's phone rings. Mr. Burrow says, "Go ahead and answer it." And it's Dan Coates' kids. It's Helena and Homer. And they agree to come in and sign the papers. So they talk about it, talk about signing an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement. Adam's trying to soft sell them, to tell them they don't need a lawyer, but they're saying, "Well, I don't know. Maybe we should read it." And Adam's like, "Just trust me. Just take the money, put this behind you, live your lives." So then Hel excuses herself to go to the restroom. But what she's really doing is inserting the hard drive into the computer. While she's doing that, she sees that group of, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call them mercenaries that Jamal Kay is talking about. She's like, "Why are they carrying guns?" So meanwhile, we see June and Edwin and Maddie. And now that the flash drive's in the computer, Edwin's able to hack in and find the Coates computer. And as he does that, he finds a Lost City Exploration Project folder. When he opens it up, it's like this giant, scary face. And they actually get a lot of information from that file. And they even send it to Helena as a text message, the picture of that face on the phone. So as she's kind of wandering around, she sees a map, seems to show where her father may have disappeared. And it's just like, what does this water have to do with the Lost City? This water on this map, what's down there? So meanwhile, Homer and Adam continue talking in his office. Adam's saying, "Can I be straight with you? Do you know Dr. Lee Whipple? We know she contacted your sister. She's been committed to a mental hospital." So again, it's the big bad corporation trying to sweep their mess under the rug, trying to keep their secrets, right? So Adam goes on to say that Lee Whipple had a close relationship with the father, didn't take his death very well, losing her grip on reality, saying she saw ghosts, father wasn't dead. Again, he's just spin doctoring. That's all it is. So Adam then tries to entice Homer to sign the papers again as Homer is getting a text message on his phone. It's like, "You know what? Your sister wants to think that your dad's not dead, but he is. You need to protect her. Sign the papers." So Helena walks in and says, "He's right. Let's sign. No more denying it. Dad's dead. Sign the papers. Let's get out of here." So as she does that, they both sign the papers. So June just texted. She found out about Dad. She's really disturbed right now. Ready, signed the papers. But what Hell's actually doing is showing Homer the picture of that giant scary face on the phone. So they're just basically trying to get out of there as soon as possible, trying to throw suspicion off. They're like, yeah, we'll sign the papers, we'll do whatever, knowing that more than ever, there's a mystery to be solved here. So Helena says, hey, you let us know when we can have the money? He said, yep, as soon as the papers are processed. Okay, later then. And they take off. And as soon as they leave, Adam's phone rings and it's Barrow. And he says, hey, someone just accessed the network and the project files. Any idea who it could have been? And as he looks at the paper, he sees that they didn't actually sign it. They just wrote a smiley face and says, blow me, asshole. So Adam now realizes they're on to him. They're on to the corporation. Said the kids faked me out. They just left. And Jamal K is like, don't worry, I'll handle it. He says, don't worry or be careful. They're just kids. So they meet up outside. They're like, what's this picture you sent us? There's a video of something that attacked your dad's team. It looked like a ghost or a monster. They did take your dad's computer. There's a lot more going on here than a cover up. We need to figure out what's going on. But before they can do anything or make any decisions, the mercenaries show up. So they take off running. They run downstairs. And when I say downstairs, they run down into the subway with the mercenaries in hot pursuit. They're kind of arguing, where should we go? Helena's like, jumps down on the tracks. Come on, it's not a dead end. Come on. And hot on their heels is Jamal K and his mercenary team. Like, look, I know this. The map shows a massive water source under Manhattan. It's got to have something to do with Atlantis. And she takes off running, jumps onto the track, and they all follow her as they run deeper into the subway tunnels. So it's really kicked into high gear, right? Like, from meeting Dan Coates and his team in the first issue, then meeting the kids, their friends, and now bringing Edwin in. They figure out pretty quickly, you know, with help from Lee Whipple, hey, your dad's not dead. Big, massive cover-up, conspiracy. So all it took was, one look at the network of Sagan Labs to realize that, yes, their father was onto something. Yes, it's possible that he's not dead. Yes, this corporation's hiding something to the point where they're willing to do something. I mean, they sent armed mercenaries after these kids. Whether or not they would have actually physically hurt them, you know, we don't necessarily know. We don't know just how quote unquote evil this corporation is, but clearly they are willing to, or they feel it necessary to hide this discovery that they've found to cover it up. So right away, we've got the kids heading off onto their adventure. It's not like a buildup. It's not like, oh, they're going to get a chance to plan how to, you know, get maps and flashlights and everything and plan how they're going to go searching for the Dan, for their missing father, for Dan Coates. It's just from pretty much the time they entered Sagan Labs, they're reacting, right? They're reacting to what they're finding, what's happening to them. They're being chased after. Helena got to see the map when she was in Sagan Labs. She has an idea of where she's headed. She knew it wasn't a dead end to jump down on the tracks. And kind of the race is on, so to speak. So it's going to be interesting to see where the story goes from here. But Zach's definitely turned up the pace, definitely turned up the pacing of the story. And I didn't expect it to shift into high gear with them underground and racing toward adventure and trying to solve this mystery of where their father is. Is he still alive? Is he safe? What's this ghost monster image they saw? Zach really turned it up to 11 right away. So I really appreciate that. And we talk a little bit about that in the interview as well. So I want to thank everyone for listening as always. Hope you enjoy the interview and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace coming to you live once again from the floor, San Diego Comic-Con 2018. I'm here with writer Zach Kapp. Zach, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. And some exciting news since we last had you on.
That's right.
Lost City Explorers optioned.
Yes. It's going to be turned into a TV show by Universal and super exciting.
So, how long did that deal take? I mean, I know it's not, that doesn't, you know, option doesn't mean it's going to happen or whatever, but had to have been working on it for a while before the book even came out, right?
There was a lot of interest as soon as the story was announced, and Universal was one of the people that expressed a real strong interest, and you know, we got to talking, and it closed and came together very quickly. Though, I mean, the book has only just come out with issue 2, but they really loved the idea, and we talked early on about my vision for where the series is going and where a TV show might take, and they loved it, and they said, yeah, this is something we want to do, and they really came to the table hard and said we believe in this project. So it's really, really amazing to be with, to not just have it headed to TV, but to be have somebody that believes in it so strongly. So
yeah, I mean, that's awesome, man, and I love it when people that are so passionate about the work and just genuinely great people like yourself. When I see this level of success,
thank you.
Just so happy for you. Let's talk a little bit about issue 2. You really, yeah. Man, the story just took off like that, right? I mean, you didn't mess around. It's like they're in it now.
No.
At the end of issue 2, they're in it.
Yeah, that's right. They're going underground by issue 2, and the adventure is truly on. I mean, it was always meant that's the promise of the concept. And comics to me is a very fast-paced medium, and I really try to keep the story moving. Here we go. We're getting ready to go underground and go on an adventure.
Awesome. I can't wait for more. Let's shift gears here. Let's talk a little bit about Portiverse.
Yeah.
So, issue 7, we finally got to see inside the port.
That's right.
So how was the fan reaction?
I think it was awesome. Yeah, it was great. I mean, there's a lot of satisfaction because, you know, I mean, some people were saying, I can't believe that they waited this long. Talk about patience. But, you know, I even remember when we first started, Andrea saying, so are we going to see the port earlier? I said, no, we gotta wait. It comes in the second arc. But it was really satisfying to create that world inside and share it with the fans. And I'm really excited about the issue that comes out next, the issue 8 that comes out in August. The whole thing has always been an 8-issue arc for me, and I know people who read the book are really fascinated and tortured by that interview that goes on. And that interview has always been a very Frost Nixonian kind of interview to me, very much mirroring what's going on in today's world, and there's a bit of a climax to that interview in issue 8. It kind of all comes together for me, so that was very satisfying to write, and I'm really excited for fans to check it out.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. We've had you on the show before about this dual narrative. You know, you have the action, you know, street level kind of thing, and then you have the above, like, political big idea part of
it. That's
right. And it's played out throughout the series beautifully. Are you still enjoying the duality of writing that?
Yeah, and it creates this juxtaposition, you know. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the action story is not interesting enough without this additional context of what's going
right,
on. When you
exactly.
understand what these two guys are a part of, it creates so much meaning behind their actions, behind their issues that they're dealing with. So, in fact, I mean, after this 8 issues, we're talking about doing another 8 issues next year, and it'll be kind of a second arc, and I absolutely intend to have the same exact structure to it, albeit it will be a different big picture interview type of vision and a different action-oriented story, but there'll be this juxtaposition where you kind of go, good Lord, the things that I'm learning in this big one, and then how this makes me understand this other story. That's really been a lot of fun to write.
Yeah, and credit to Andrew to make panels where it's just talking heads interesting, right?
Yeah,
and still, you know, tell a story and that sequential.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, God, you got a whole page with two characters and just close-ups, and it's entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. Let's touch on real quick Eclipse coming back soon.
Yeah, God, a week and a half, and super excited. I'm just the new artwork from Giovanni Timpano and Flavio Dispenza. You guys, it's so amazing. Every issue continues to get better and better, and I'm really excited about where the third arc goes. It's been one of my favorite to write, and I just can't wait. I mean, Eclipse is my first book, and there are so many fans out there that have been on board from the get-go. When's Eclipse coming back? When's Eclipse coming back? So here you go.
Your wait's almost over, guys.
That's right.
Your wait's almost over.
Yeah, another 10 days.
Awesome. Well, thanks for talking to me, Zach. It's always good to
a pleasure,
see you, man.
Man.
Yeah, great.